Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So good, church. Mind you stay standing for a little bit. I just feel. Yeah, to pray before we get into the word. So would you just close your eyes, give your attention to God. Yeah, Father, we just commit this time to you. Lord God, we thank you that you want to move, and we thank you, Jesus, that you will move, Lord. I just pray, Father God, for every person in this place, Lord God, that hearts would be softened. Lord God, that minds would be open, Lord Jesus. That hearts, Lord God, would be tender towards your word, Lord Jesus. Father, I lay down my agenda. I lay down my pride, Father God. Would I be just simply a vessel for your Holy Spirit to minister? Thank you, Father God. We give you all the glory, Jesus, and we thank you that this morning we will see your glory fall. And we praise you and we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. And we said, amen. So good. Incredible. You can take your seat. Awesome. Why don't we give it up for our band as well? Amazing. So good. Well, it's an honor to be on the stage and to be speaking with you guys today. It was February the last time I preached, but it was only the 9 a.m. And so many of you probably heard me, but many people in the 11 probably didn't hear me preach. But yeah, I'm really excited today to have the opportunity to take this stage and to be a vessel for God to minister to each one of you. And I genuinely believe as you lean in, as you partner your faith with the word that God has placed on my heart, there's something special for each one of you. And I really encourage you as much as you can, lean in, take notes, say yes and amen when you hear God tugging on your heart with a word that he's placed on me to give to you. And so before we jump in, I do want to give a little recap of what's been happening at youth, because I am the youth coordinator and I feel like it's my obligation. We've seen an awesome pouring out of the Holy Spirit on youth ministry so far this term. This year so far, we've had 27 new people come and 10 salvations across all of our services, which is incredible. And we've been doing a mix of heading to Myrie and joining in with their services and having local services here in this auditorium with young people coming in and experiencing the love of God. This term, we've really gone hard into having local services, and so we've been doing it every 2 weeks, and we've seen our community really impacted by the love of God, and young people inviting their friends, bringing people from school, because they know what they carry, and they want their friends to experience what they have experienced. Our junior high program as well has been popping off with God doing awesome things. In our 11 a.m. service, we release our year 6 to year 9s to head into junior high. Me and Jaquan, who is another team leader in junior high, have been leading that. And we've been seeing God do amazing things. We've been seeing salvations. We've been seeing students actually begin to capture the heart of what it means to worship God. And it's been incredible. And I really want to encourage you, if you have a young person in this place or you are a young person, get involved with youth. Get involved with junior high. Send them along. That's probably the best place that they're going to experience the love of God. That's the one place where God is actually curating a time and space specifically for them. And they can encounter encounter God on church on a Sunday, but youth is specifically for them. And I know that my life was impacted in youth ministry. When I came to church on a Sunday, it was very easy for me to nod off and not really pay attention to what was happening. But at youth ministry, I found that the relationship that I had with my youth leaders was the door that unlocked God's miracles into my life. And so I really want to plug that. I really want to encourage you. Send your kids to youth, especially this week. We've got a dodgeball competition coming up. And so there'll be prize money, a sausage sizzle, all of that stuff. So send them along and we'll look after them and ensure that God ministers to them as well, which is incredible. You would have also seen that we have Nations Conference coming up. It's in July from 12th to 14th. I am going to plug it a little bit more, but that's because I genuinely feel like it is such an anointed time where God wants to move. The reason I'm on this stage today preaching to you and in this calling of leading this youth ministry is largely because of something that God did at conference. In 2022, I was doing Nations College along with my mum. We were classmates for a year, which was great and terrible at the same time. But doing this year, I submitted a year of my life to God to move in me. And I started just with wanting to be able to answer questions better. That was my reason for doing Nations College. But God used it anyway, even if it wasn't the greatest reason. It's a good reason, but it's probably not the greatest reason. But yeah, God used that. And in 22, I went to conference and we had Pastor Fred Porter come and he was ministering in the youth stream. And he invited people to come forward if they felt a calling to full-time ministry or the missions field overseas. And so I responded thinking that I was responding to the missions field because I had just come back from a mission trip. I was on that high of just being overseas. But God did a work on me on that day and on that stage. And he really placed in my heart a conviction that, yes, overseas need God, but so does my community. And he placed on my heart to really pursue the young people of this area, of Port Kennedy, of Rockingham, of Warmbro, because they need God just as much as anyone else does. And so I can't speak highly enough of what conference can do in your life if you say yes and allow God to move into your heart. And last year in 2023, when I was at conference, God did another work affirming what he had established the year before. I was already walking in this calling of being the youth coordinator, but God just really highlighted my eyes to know this is where I'm supposed to be. He didn't let me walk in doubt. He knew that there was some thoughts creeping into my mind, but he washed them out. He gave me a moment of encounter with his glory where I was completely affirmed in my walking with him. And I really want to encourage you, every moment that you have to lean into God, take it. Be at conference, be at church every Sunday, be in Connect Week. I really encourage you that these are moments where life-changing encounters happen. We are going to get into some scripture, but before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about myself because our church has been growing, and so there's a lot of faces in here that are not super familiar to me or you might not know much about me, but I am 21 years old. My family all go to Nations Church. I have a photo on the screen. My mum is Mel. And my father is Chris, and Chris, who is my sister, there's a blurry photo of us all there. I thought I'd put the photo up because there's always people that don't make that connection, and only like a year or two after coming to church, they realize we're all related. But that's my family up there, and I'm so thankful to God to have the family that I have and to have such an atmosphere of faith in my house. And I cannot thank God enough for that, and that has been a huge part in my life. But I also, at the moment, am studying at uni. I am studying construction management at Curtin University. I also love soccer. I love all sports, but especially soccer. I support Chelsea. Made a comeback in the end of the season there. Just qualified for Europe, which is great. Might mean nothing to you, but it does to me. I also love watching basketball. My team, the Boston Celtics, are in the finals as well. Going hard, my teams this year. But yeah, I also enjoy being in the water, being at the beach. I do love winter. I like this weather. It's nice and cozy. It's nice to be indoors, rugged up, watching a movie. But I do love summer. Give me a wave if you prefer summer. Most of the room. I love the beach. I love bodyboarding. I love skimboarding, all of that stuff. And a few weeks ago, I actually had a pretty good opportunity to make the most of what summer had left for us. And a good friend of mine who some of you might know, named Matt Catterall, he's youth coordinator at our Wangara campus. He got married and he invited us, a bunch of us, to go and celebrate his Bucks party with him, celebrate the occasion that was coming up. And he invited us to go out on a friend's boat to Rottnest for the weekend. And how good does that sound? How many of us would love the opportunity to do that now amongst all this rain? But we had the opportunity to go out, enjoy the weather, enjoy the water, and it was like a pristine weekend. As we were I don't know what you call it, not driving, but boating to Rottnest, there was a big storm on the way and we could see lightning coming down, but as we got there, it all cleared up and the next day we went out on the water and from the boat, you could see 20 meters straight down to the sea floor. You could see stingrays going under. The boys went scuba diving, spearfishing. They went craying as well. And yeah, it was a great time. One of the mornings as well, a funny story, one of the boys, we woke up early to watch the sunrise, but the Rottnest is kind of on the wrong side, so you don't really see the sun come up because we were facing back to Perth. And so we saw the sun come up behind us and we saw it light up the city, which was an incredible view. But then we decided we'll go back to the island and we'll go to Dome, get a coffee. And so we did that. We had some great chats. We were sitting there outside enjoying a nice blueberry muffin and a coffee. It was a little cold at the time. It was starting to get a little colder, but we enjoyed that morning. And then I looked at my phone and I realized that I had about 4 or 5 missed calls. And then I looked at it, and so it was one of the boys from the boat. And I was like, oh, maybe something's happened to the boat, or maybe something's happened to one of the boys. So I picked up, I rang them back, and he was like, hey, where are you guys? What are you doing? Why are you taking so long? We want to go scuba diving. We want to go catch crayfish. And so we quickly rushed back to the boat, knowing that they actually had an agenda for the day that we just weren't aware of at all. But we went back to the boat, and luckily we did, because by lunchtime they had caught a bunch of crayfish, which were delicious. We had them along with steak, a nice home-cooked surf and turf, which was incredible. If you want to see photos, I can show you some later. But as I was preparing this sermon today, this story came to mind of how important it is to actually be aware of the calls that we're getting. For me, I am not a fan of phone calls. I don't know if you're like me, but I always have this mindset that if it's important, you'll text me. And so if I miss your call, it's not that important. But who knows, that's a pretty dangerous place to live in. By missing out on phone calls, we are potentially missing out on incredible opportunities, missing out on crayfish and steak lunches. In our walk with God, it's so the same. Whenever we miss calls, whenever we miss a call from God, we're potentially missing out on the benefit of what's on the other side of saying yes. Whenever we miss the call, we're missing out on the crayfish. We're missing out on the delicious lunch that's there. You know, our God is alive and moving, and that means that He doesn't stay still. That means that there's always a next step. There's always something new. There's always a next calling for all of us. And then the Bible encourages us to say yes. While a lot of the time it takes faith, we have a whole book dedicated to telling us why it's so good to say yes to God. In the Old Testament, God continuously calls people into amazing things. We know of David being anointed to be king. We know of Moses being called to lead the Israelites out. And another man of God that had a great calling on his life was a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon lived during a period of time in Israel's history where they just wouldn't stay devoted to God. As much as God really wanted them to, was drawing them in, they would continuously walk to God and then walk back away and turn to their idols, turn to their sin. And so God comes to Gideon. He appears to him in bodily form. It's described that he was like an angel, but we know from contextual and scriptural evidence that this was the embodiment of God himself who came to Gideon. He came to Gideon and spoke to him of how he desired relationship with the Israelites. And he reminded Gideon that the Lord was with them. And when he called to Gideon, he actually encouraged him that he was going to be the one to save Israel from the Midianites. And so we pick up the story from Judges chapter 6, where the Lord is before Gideon. And it says, from verse 12 to 16, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where all these wonders and our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" Yeah, why don't we quickly pray before we continue? Any bow heads? Yeah, Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation, Lord God, that you place on my heart and that you're going to pour out in this room, Lord Jesus. And we pray for your anointing, for your glory to come into this place. And we just pray for power and authority to fall on each one of us as your Holy Spirit fills us. And so we just commit this morning to you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, taking a leaf from Gideon's response, give me a wave if you've ever heard a call and then look to all the reasons why you can't do it. I know that I have. Gideon had just seen God face to face. God placed a pretty big calling on him, I'll give him that. But his first response was to look at all the reasons why he couldn't do it. And how many of us have that first response? Even if it's something easy. I don't know, whenever mom asked me to put the washing out or clean up the dog poo, my first response is, no, I'm busy, I've got an assignment to do or something. I'll look at all the reasons why I can't do it. For Gideon, God's call was to save Israel, but his attention was immediately turned to all the reasons why not. And we can have that same thing as well. You know, our calling might not be as big as that to save a whole nation, but our calling might be simply to start serving on a team, start serving your kids, serving at youth. It might look like signing up for conference. It might look like actually connecting with a connect group. But doubt, fear, insecurity, and apathy always hold us back. I know I've experienced it in my life. When I was applying to take the youth coordinator position, there were all these thoughts flooding my mind of why I can't do it. I looked at my age. I was only 19 at the time. You don't really see many 19-year-old pastors around. I looked at my lack of experience. I hadn't even finished Bible college yet. And even at that point, I feel like I hadn't really learned anything anyway because I was probably not paying attention to my classes the way I should have. But for each of us, we can see these opportunities in our lives when there's been a calling on your life. But maybe you've turned to the insecurities. You've turned to the fear. You've turned to the family that you've come from, and that's disqualified you. Maybe you're looking at the mindsets that you carry, the fear that's in your heart, and they're the reasons why you think you're not qualified. This morning, I want to encourage you that God is calling us to respond with faith, that when He calls, He's calling us to say yes, because the best life that we live is on the other side of our obedience to when He calls. And that's why the title of my message today is When God Calls. When God calls, what is your first response? Is it like Gideon's and like mine in the past to look at the lack of God's miracles, to look at what a mess that we're in right now? How can you say you're with us because all of this stuff has happened? Maybe your response is also like Gideon's, to look to his personal inadequacies. He was the least in his family and his family was the least in Israel. Maybe it's to look at the hopelessness of the situation rather than the power of God. Or when God calls, is your first response an undeniable faith that what He promises will happen? Is it an undeniable trust that no matter how unlikely it seems, God will make a way? Is it a belief that He will be with you? A victory will be brought despite our natural ability and what our circumstances look like. When God calls, say yes. I can't encourage you enough. When God calls, say yes. Even if it seems hard, say yes, because easy things rarely grow us. The victory, the freedom, the person that you become on the other side of obedience is so worth saying yes, so worth pushing through the trials, even though we know God is with us. Those trials still seem pretty big, but He is with you and He'll bring you through it and make you a better person on the other side. And this morning, I really want to encourage you that this word is not for the select few that are called to be pastors. It's not for the select few that are called to come and preach on a stage. This is for every single person. Your calling might look different to mine, but there is still a calling on each of your lives. Jesus explains this with a parable in Matthew 22. He is speaking of a king that has prepared a banquet for his son, and he has invited all of these people. And when the banquet's ready, he sends out all of his servants to go and bring in all the people that he's invited. But there's people that who were invited look to all the reasons why they can't. One goes and tends to his land. One goes back to his house and has all these excuses why not. And so he sends his servants to go and gather anyone on the street who's willing to come in and enjoy the banquet. And they come, they enjoy it. They enjoy the king's food that was reserved at some point for the people that was only invited, but now it's open to everyone. That invite to come and enjoy the banquet was open to everyone. And at the end of this parable in Matthew 22:14, Jesus says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And so today I'm speaking to everyone. This word is for everyone in this room. You are all called. But God gave us the free will to choose. Only few are chosen because only few say yes. But we all have that calling. We are all called to walk into the next, to respond to God by saying yes. And just like in this parable, each seat was already reserved for someone. But if they said no, that seat was still there waiting for them. The king wouldn't have turned them away if they changed their mind and decided to come back. He had already established the seat for them. And for you, He's already established the path that He wants you to walk on. He's already established the victory on the other side of whatever challenge is before you. Your choice is just to decide to say yes and to take that victory and claim it. God has already established victory over all our challenges through the cross. and he's calling you to, and he's calling on you is merely an affirmation of what has already been established. And so my first point this morning is that God will affirm what he establishes. When God calls, say yes, because the victory has already been won. No matter how challenging it looks, no matter how hard it seems, the victory has already been won. On the other side, there is victory. Your place beside God, standing on that hill, has already been established. And his calling for you to walk in that is merely an affirmation of the victory that's already been established. When God calls to Gideon, he addresses him as mighty warrior, which is more than just an encouragement. That's actually what Gideon's name meant. His name meant a man who has fallen his enemies, a man who is a warrior. And so when God comes and says, mighty warrior, he's not just encouraging him. He is affirming what he has already established on Gideon's life. Whether Gideon knew it or not, God had already established him as a mighty warrior. And his calling was just seeing him walk into the victory that was already won. You know, we see in Matthew 3, 16 to 17, when Jesus is baptized, that God affirms Jesus as well. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God affirmed even Jesus. Each one of us today is a son or a daughter of God. And when he calls you son, when he calls you daughter, that's more than just a term of endearment. That is an affirmation of what he's established on your life. He's affirming that on the cross, he resurrected again on the third day so that you could stand in victory with him. That is why he calls us sons and daughters. The reason why he gives us a calling and he doesn't just give us the victory is because God cares more about you than the answer to your prayer. And I hope that's a challenging word. God cares more about you individually than the answer to your prayer. You might think that that freedom is more important, but God sees your relationship with him as the priority. Immediate and on-demand answers isn't the way that God works. Sometimes he'll pour out a suddenly moment on us, but a lot of the time he'll call us to walk through those challenges because he actually desires us to grow in intimacy with him. And that only happens through walking that journey. And instant prayer doesn't challenge our faith. It doesn't grow our faith. When God calls, say yes, because whatever he is calling you into, the victory has already been won, but he's also calling you into deeper relationship with him. God knows this. He knows that when our faith is challenged, it is strengthened. And through perseverance, the breakthrough that is coming is all the sweeter. And that's because greater is the victory done through you than done for you, which is my second point. Give me a wave if you watch any sport. Doesn't matter what sport. If you support a team, keep your hand up. Awesome. Now, give me a wave if you've played that sport. Few different hands, but that's great. All right, you can all put your hands down now. All right, I love soccer. I love watching Chelsea FC play. And in 2021, they made it all the way to the Champions League final. And Dad and I, we got up early, made cups of tea, and we watched the final. And they won 1-0 over Manchester City, and they lifted the trophy. And I was excited in that moment. I was pumped. Dad and I, we jumped off the couch and screamed a little bit too loud at 3 a.m. in the morning. But I'll tell you, I was excited in that moment. But only a few months ago, on a Sunday night, I was versing Centrepoint FC while I was playing for Nations FC. And we came back from 2-0 to win 5-3. And I was way more excited at that game than when Chelsea won the championship because I had skin in the game. I was actually playing. I was a part of the team playing. And so even though the stage looked completely different, because I was actually invested, I was involved, the victory was way greater for me than whatever victory Chelsea could win at the Champions League. This concept goes beyond sport. It goes beyond our natural lives, and it is true for our walk with God. When we have skin in the game, the victory is so much sweeter. The work that is done is so much greater because on the other side, not only is the battle won, but we're closer with Jesus, and that is the priority. Paul explains this in the book of 2 Corinthians by explaining that through our weakness, through our humanly form that isn't as amazing as we think it is, God is glorified all the more. And he recounts a moment in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, as it says. But he said to me, being God, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We are made strong through God. Through our weaknesses, God is brought glory, and it draws us closer to Him. Like I said, God cares more about a relationship with you than just simply overcoming a challenge. If overcoming that challenge means you're going to draw closer to Him, He'll bring you through that journey. Victories won for us offer us a temptation to rationalize it with facts, leave it up to coincidence, to explain all the reasons why it wasn't God, or even place the emphasis on a person who preached a great sermon or prayed a great prayer, and that's the reason why it happened. But when God works through us, we ourselves know that we can't overcome a lot of the challenges that we face. We can't do it. Like Paul, we acknowledge our weaknesses. We're all our own best critic. We know our challenges more than anyone else does. And so when victory comes through us, that challenges our faith all the more and brings us closer to God and gives Him all the more glory within our hearts. When God calls, say yes. Because it's more than just an invitation to serve Him. It's an invitation to become more intimate with Him. In Gideon's life, they overcame the Midianites. He did a work by reducing his size of his army from 32,000 to 300 so that God would get the glory. He knew that if the army of 32,000 won, Israel would give all the glory to Gideon, give all the glory to the army. But God knew by wavering it, by reducing the number of soldiers, God would get the glory. And sometimes He does that work in us. He does a bit of pruning. He gets rid of that pride. He gets rid of those things that we think are important but actually aren't, so that He would get the glory. For a lot of the people in Israel, that victory came about not through them, but for them. And so as soon as Gideon died, what did Israel do? They turned back to the idols. They turned away from God and turned back to their sin and all the dysfunction that the world offers, because on the outside it looks glorious, but it's not. It's really not. And this morning I really encourage you that walking with God is so much greater than whatever the world can offer. Intimacy with God is greater than intimacy with any person, even if it is by God. When God calls, say yes. Intimacy with Him is the priority for God. It should be our priority as well. As I invite the band up, my third point today is that He will be with you. God will be with you. When God comes to Gideon, He opens by saying, "The Lord is with you." And He ends by saying, "I will be with you." When God places a calling on your life, He doesn't just kick you out the nest and expect you to try and fly by yourself. When God places a calling on your life, it's a confidence that He will be with you through the challenge. He'll be with you through the valley. When God calls, say yes, because that's an invitation to actually walk closer with Him, because He's promising that His presence will be with you as you go through it. God doesn't just call you to overcome a victory. He doesn't just call you so that you can, you know, step into a greater life or earn more money or get a bigger platform. He calls you so that He would get more of the glory. And through that, help us to actually find humility and understand that our best life is lived when God is at the center, when God is at the throne. When God calls, say yes. When Gideon said yes, God's spirit was with him. God's power, His might was with him, and favor came upon him. You know, I always get stumped on this question. How did Gideon, the lowest in his family and the lowest of Israel, actually accumulate 32,000 men? Like, that in itself is a miracle. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but I don't think I could gather 32,000 people. It's hard enough to gather 30 on a Friday night. But that in itself is such a miracle. God will give you what you need. Even if it looks like too much, He'll take it away if you gather too much. But He'll give you what you need. His presence will be with you. And at a moment when Gideon needed a bit more encouragement, a moment when Gideon needed a little more confidence, God came through for him. Just before the battle, Gideon was looking at the 300 and was concerned. I would have been two. Looking at the other army with over 100,000 men, looking at mine with 300, I would have been a little concerned. But because God was with him, he gave him the encouragement, he gave him the strength. God actually got Gideon to go over and sneak behind the Midianites' lines and go up right up close to the camp. And he overheard some of the Midianites speaking about a dream that one of them had had. And in Judges 7, 13 to 15, we read, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such a force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. I believe this is a prophetic word for us today. How sobering is it to know that the enemy already knows they've lost? The Midianites knew they had lost before they even went into battle, and I believe that's a big reason why Gideon's army won. But for us, our enemy's already defeated. By the cross, our enemy is defeated. Yeah, we can give God praise for that. Our enemy is already defeated. When God calls, say yes. Because he affirms what he has already established. He's calling on you as an affirmation of the victory that was established on the cross. When God calls, say yes, because the victory that is won by your partnership with him is so much greater than any answer to a miracle that doesn't require us to have skin in the game. When God calls, say yes, because he will be with you in the battle. He helped you accumulate the 32,000 men, but even if it gets dwindled to 300, he'll give you that victory and he'll encourage you along the way, reminding you that the enemy already knows they've lost. All you need to do is say yes, even if it looks hard, even if it looks challenging, the victory is coming. You know, in this place, I know that there's probably some people here that actually don't understand, you know, the calling that's on their life. They haven't heard God say that yet. They haven't heard that opportunity, that door open yet. But I encourage you that every single one of us has one call that is the same across every single person, and that is to be in relationship with Jesus, to draw closer to him, to accept him as Lord of our heart. And even if that looks a little scary, and if it looks like, you know, you have to let go of control, even if it looks like you have to let go of the understanding, let go of your earthly wisdom so that you can accept him into your heart, it is so worth it. It is so worth it to respond to that call, to accept him into our heart, because the victory over that anxiety that you're dealing with, that victory over that family issue that you're going through has already been won. And he's established it on the other side of your yes. All you need to do is accept him into your heart and he will come. He will be with you and that victory will be yours.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.